2005 Juno Awards, the Canadian music industry's annual Bun Toss, will be held on Sunday, the 3rd of April. The telecast will emanate from the MTS Center in Winnipeg and will be broadcast live on CTV. Its host will be the popular Canadian comedian Brent Butt, who joins me on the line this morning. Brent Butt is an award-winning comedian and the co-creator, writer, and producer of CTV's highly rated Canadian comedy series, Corner Gas. Please welcome to thecommentary.ca, Brent Butt. Good morning, Mr. Butt.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
My other phone's ringing, if you can hear that in the background.
Oh, well, all right. Do you want to take that call, or?
No, that's all right.
Are you in
Madhouse? It's like an old publisher's desk or something with 9 phones on it.
Well, there you go. Are you in Vancouver this morning?
I am, yeah.
Now, I read somewhere that you actually live in Vancouver, do you?
I do. Your sources are correct. I've lived in Vancouver for about 12 years.
But you grew up in Saskatchewan, right?
Yeah.
And that's where...
I grew up anywhere.
you're growing up now, I guess, in Vancouver.
Yeah.
That was the genesis of Corner Gas, I assume, right? Your childhood in Saskatchewan.
Yeah, I mean, I just kind of used it as a backdrop. Right? I just kind of wanted to make a show, a very premise-like show, with interesting characters, kind of doing funny things. And if the backdrop didn't matter, I thought, well, I'd like to use this backdrop that I knew growing up.
And what brought you to Vancouver a dozen years ago?
I just kind of ended up here. I had been living in Toronto. Moved down to L.A. for about 6 months. I couldn't get the paperwork to stay in L.A. at the time. And I had about a month's worth of work lined up doing stand-up in Vancouver and just around D.C. So I thought, okay, well, I'll just hang here and do this work for the month. And I've been here ever since. Fell in love with the place.
Now, Corner Gas, that's filmed in Saskatchewan, is it?
It is, yeah.
So you commute back and forth, right?
No, I would just go there, do it all in one chunk, and then come back to Vancouver. So I'm actually now there about 6 months of the year in Saskatchewan. I'll be leaving next month, going there to do about a month of pre-production, then we shoot for 4 months, and then I'm there for about a month afterwards doing the editing and stuff.
So that's the third season that you'll be beginning next month?
Yeah.
Right. And is that the extent of the commitment that CTV has given you, or will there be more after that?
There's no commitment to more than that right now, but I think there's talk, though.
So they've also got you hosting the Junos on Sunday, the 3rd of April.
Yeah.
Talk to me about the Junos and the popularity of Canadian music in this country and how much you'll play a part of that, you know, how much you'll be part of that on when you host the telecast on Sunday the 3rd.
Well, I think the popularity of Canadian music, I think, speaks volumes about how successful a CanCon program can be, you know. And it's just worked really well to establish Canadian musicians in the minds and in the ears of the listening audience. So it's worked really, really well. I mean, there's so many talented people in any genre, whether it's music or comedy, like I'm in, acting. There's so many talented people out there, and there just aren't enough ways to get up in front of everybody and let them know that you're out there. And so the music industry has done a really good job at that, at creating stars, you know. And I'm pumped to be a part of it, because I love music. I play music myself, poorly, but I'm very excited to be a part of it. How big a part am I going to play in just kind of the evening? The nice thing for me is, you know, the Junos isn't about me, it's about music and the awards, so it's kind of, it works out good because the pressure's off me. I can go out and just try something funny. If it doesn't work, I can just bail and introduce, ladies and gentlemen, Avril Lavigne, and just scram. So it kind of works good for me.
In terms of hosting an award show, is that like walking a tight wire, a tight rope, that it is as nerve-wracking as it seems? I mean, with the live audience, and not to mention the audience that'll be in the MTS Center, how do you deal with that? I mean, are you confident enough as a performer that nervousness and butterflies don't bug you? Because I would think it'd be terrifying to have to stand in front of millions of people and have to be funny.
I don't know. I've always been able to put it in perspective. At the end of the day, I mean, there are, you know, the bigger the show you do and the more importance there is on it, the more butterflies you get. But I'm always able to just kind of work through it. It's never like a paralyzing, crippling fear or anything. It's it's what I do, and it's what I've done for 17 years, and putting it in perspective is the important part about it. You know, if I get up and don't do very well, that's all that it is, right? I'm not doing, you know, open heart surgery on somebody's loved one, where if I screw up, there's a death, you know? I'm not, people always put too much weight on public speaking. I remember I had a guy that I knew in Toronto. He was dating a friend of mine, and he said to me, he was a vice cop, and he said to me he wouldn't have the nerve to do what I do. And that just boggled my mind. I was like, didn't you kick in the door to a crack house today? You know, like if my day goes poorly, I don't get a shotgun blast in the chest. So there's no, you got to put it in perspective.
Are there people that you look up to in terms of hosting an award show? I mean, Chris Rock, when he hosted the Oscars recently, said he watched Bob Hope and Johnny Carson's tapes when they hosted the event. Is there any the same that happens with you like that?
I mean, I was a huge, not really in terms of award shows, but I was a huge fan of Carson, and am a huge fan of Letterman. And I think that they're two people who do a really good job at keeping things moving and not getting in the way of what's moving. That's the key to it. You know, Carson was brilliant at, you know, bringing somebody out, letting them do their thing, and if it was going well, just staying out of the way, let it happen, you know? And he would step in to kind of help things along when they weren't going so well. But that's the key to it. A lot of people who host things, they feel that they have to participate nonstop through the entire segment, and you just shouldn't. A good host knows when to let his guests talk and do their thing.
And will you have skits and tape bits and that sort when you host on the 3rd of April?
Yeah. There's not going to be a lot. I mean, at the end of the day, my participation in terms of actual minutes on the air isn't going to be huge because, like I said, it's not about me. It's about the music and the awards. So a lot of it's going to be just me, kind of trying to verbally be funny with introductions and extras and stuff, and then just keeping the show moving, like I said. But there are a couple of prepared pieces that we're going to do.
Desperate Housewives will be your lead-in that night,
nice.
Right?
I'm not sure.
Oh, I read.
Word for it.
I read that Desperate Housewives will be aired in front of your telecast, and what they'll do with the red carpet thing is sneak it in commercial breaks.
Oh yeah.
So.
That sounds cool.
In terms of ratings, or they told you that you have to meet a certain target, or?
No, because it's not. I mean, CTV's too smart to do that. They're not going to put a ton of pressure on me and say you have to achieve these ratings. It's not, like I said, it's not about me. So, I'm sure that they expect that the shows will do well. They always have, especially in the last 4 years. The ratings have been consistently high. So it should. You know, maybe some people who watch Corner Gas that haven't watched the Junos before might come over, might get a little bit of a crossover audience. It just is what it is. CTV isn't putting a lot of pressure on anybody.
Talk to me about some of the Canadian musical talent that we'll see on Sunday night, the 3rd. Who's been booked and who's set to perform?
Yeah, at this stage, and it's always this way with award shows, I can't really tell you that because it's usually not till about seriously, 3 or 4 days before the event till everything gets firmed up. Like Dan Aykroyd was supposed to be there. We just found out it looks like he's not going to be there. These things just kind of happen all the time. So at this red-hot moment, and plus I don't have anything in front of me, I couldn't tell you who's going to be there. A host of brilliant musicians.
Absolutely.
A gaggle of them.
Tons. Hundreds and thousands of screaming fans as well, right? In your bio, you note that you were born on the 6th of August, was it? Or the 3rd of August, 1966, and you say that it's the same day that the legendary comedian Lenny Bruce died. Did you, in terms of including that in your bio, that one line, did you admire Lenny Bruce?
Not growing up. I didn't actually know who Lenny Bruce was until after I'd started doing stand-up. I got introduced to him afterwards. So, no, I just kind of thought it was just a neat little coincidence that this, very influential and very talented comic departed the same day I came in. So it was kind of, a friend of mine said it was, Lenny Bruce was, he was known for working kind of scatologically and controversially and working dirty when nobody else did. And, you know, he's often credited with opening up the freedom of speech to performers. But now it's gotten carried away where people are just filthy with the sake of being filthy. So a buddy of mine said, you're letting reincarnated trying to come back and start some more censorship. Enough of the filth.
Right. But Jackie Gleason, you admire Jackie Gleason, is that true?
Yeah, hugely. He was the guy that I would rush home to see. They used to play the Honeymooners at 4 o'clock in Tisdale on TKBI TV, I believe it was. And I would rush home and see the Honeymooners. It was the most entertaining half hour of TV I'd ever seen. And just getting to know him as a performer, doing research on him and watching other stuff, he's just hugely talented.
And I always found it interesting that people like Jack Benny, people admired a lot, even though Benny died in, what, 1974? And even someone like Jackie Gleason, I mean, the bulk of his career was in the 50s.
Yeah.
But there is a certain resonance that happens when shows go into syndication and the sort, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, never would have reached me as a young kid to, you know, find an audience with me if it wasn't for syndication. So, yeah, that's definitely a big part of it. And then there are certain people who just stand out. There's people who have that X factor or whatever and are just so larger than life and so good at what they do or so whatever that intangible is that they stick out and become a huge influence. And Benny was one of the very first guys to just stand up and talk and be funny. That wasn't an act really before Benny. He was kind of, you know, he was doing that in vaudeville where nobody really did that. There were some joke tellers, but they were very clownish and they were very kind of, you know, set up punchline jokes. Benny was kind of the first guy to do what it is stand-up comics do today.
Were there any Canadian influences that growing up that you looked towards, that you looked to for inspiration or guidance?
The MTV gang, for sure, was just made it seem possible to me. You know, it was like here was this very fun show being done in Canada. And Wayne and Schuster, same thing. I mean, I used to just kind of, I used to just ache for comedy. Whatever comedy I could find, I was hooked in. And I used to watch Wayne and Schuster specials when they would come on.
I was going to ask, you know, I watched the thing about the Genie Awards the other night, and Brian Linehan used to host that show, and I'm wondering if you'll steal from him.
I don't think so. He's far more educated and erudite than I am.
Wasn't he? Just even as an interviewer, he was.
Exactly.
He was. The Toronto Star wrote of you once saying that you would be the next Canadian comic to make it big in Hollywood. At this point, have you got plans to head down south, or the paperwork still in order?
No, the paperwork's no problem. That could happen. I just don't. That's not where I feel like I should be, or where I'm supposed to be. I really feel that I am where I should be, and you know, I'm kind of a believer that the universe lines things up for you, and when you are where you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be there, things have a tendency to work out, and you know, things are going good for me, and I'm happy here. I much prefer being in Canada than in the States. You kind of gotta. I find I can't be myself when I'm in the States, and I can be myself here in Canada, and to me, there's a tremendous amount of value in that. So I don't see myself going anywhere.
That's the one thing that I've been struck with. If you talk to regular people, as I am wont to do, they would say, you know, why doesn't Paul Gross or Brent Budd or Don McKellar go to the States and make films and TV shows and movies there? But when you talk to you guys, you all say that you like the freedom and the creativity that you have in this country.
Yeah. That's a big part of it. There's a tremendous amount of value in being able to do what you do. And Canada kind of, I think Canada appreciates a little more the artistic process, I think. It's less of a, because it's not as big a business, there's not a huge market, so it's not a giant money-making proposition. So the result is there's less business involved. That's not to say there isn't a business element to it, but you just got a little more room to play here.
And Corner Gas, how popular is that outside of the country?
It hasn't really had any market. Like, we haven't shopped it anywhere yet. The notion was to not shop it anywhere until we had three seasons in the can, which we will have after this next one. But we know from emails, there are people watching it on satellite down south, and they're getting it and digging it, and they buy the DVDs. And we know there is a market. Well, I think there's a pretty good international market, just because the stories are kind of universal, and the characters are archetypal, and it's all, you know, it's very funny, and it's comfortable, and, you know, we had a guy from Sweden, a guy who grew up in Sweden, said it reminded him exactly of his village back in Sweden. And to a degree, it's kind of, there's a universality to it, so it should do pretty well, I think.
And we'll look forward to watching. You know, I haven't seen the show yet. I'm one of the only people.
Dirty dog.
Well, but I promise you, I will go down to the CTV store there in Robson and Burrard and pick up the DVD.
Excellent.
And, but I was talking to my cousin, and he's 15, and I was talking to another guy who's my age, 23, and these are two guys that you'd never think would watch anything Canadian, besides the news, perhaps. And they all say that they love the show. And my feeling is, if you've won both of them, and they're both disparate characters, you've done well, I think.
Yeah, I'm always I'm consistently amazed by the broad demographic that we have. You know, we're leading the category in our time slot in every demographic except for children. And I mean, that just blows me away. And when we do, like, I was just doing some stand-up shows and signing DVDs afterwards, and people would say, you know, could you sign this for my 10-year-old son? He loves the show. And then somebody else would say, could you sign this for my grandmother? She loves your show. And could you sign this for my dad? Or, you know, there's groups of people who get together in seniors' homes and watch it, and groups of people who get together in college dorms and watch it. And there's corner gas bar nights and stuff like that. It consistently blows me away. And I think one of the reasons for that is that we never targeted demographics.
Really?
We never said, okay, we want to get the 17 to 28 year olds. You know, we never did that. We just
and working with CTV and the ability to air that on the main network as well as comedy, that must be a great benefit.
Yeah, it's a tremendous resource to have the two.
Well, thanks so much for talking with us today, Brent. And I will pick up the DVD, I promise. And I will watch.
My shirt while you're there, too.
Sure, I'll do that. And we'll be watching you on Sunday, the 3rd of April, hosting the Juno Awards.
All right.
And what'll you be wearing? Isn't that the key question?
Dolce & Gabbana. I don't know what I'll be wearing.
You don't know yet? Okay.
Well, from Moore's, probably.
Really? Or Harry Rosen, right?
Yeah.
Brent Butt here on thecommentary.ca. Catch the Juno Awards Sunday, April 3rd on CTV. Also catch Corner Gas, which is in its second season now on CTV. The first season's already on DVD. The third season will be in the can sometime this year. For the commentary, I'm Joseph Plano.